Like she said, my name is Heather Patterson. I'm a resident here in the women's. And I am married to Lance. We have three girls that are 5, 8, and 9, almost 10. She'll tell you 10, but she's 9. And it was just a couple months ago that our almost 10-year-old started making some comments, some remarks that my husband and I started picking up on, mostly during like our Advent or anytime we talked about God. And finally one night, it all came out in a really scared, angry confession of, how do I even know that God's even real? How do I believe the Bible? God doesn't even have a beginning. We all have a beginning. Why doesn't he have a beginning? How can I believe that? And we had a long talk that night, and we've had a lot of talks since then. But what I really wanted to tell her was, girl, I get it. I'm a really analytical, logical person, 5 on the Enneagram. I have a list of questions I'll never get answers to, and because I'm more thinking than feeling, my temptation is not to ever believe the lie that God doesn't love me or that God's not good. My temptation is to believe that God's not real at all. What if none of this is real? And so it's been a hard thing. It's been lonely in the church. Sometimes it's even felt shameful. And I remember because I wasn't raised in church and I didn't have like a spiritual relationship with anyone older than me when I was younger, I didn't know who to go to with that. And when I would finally find a person and the courage to take that to, I was often met with facts. But the trouble is, I'm a researcher at heart, so when I try to put to death a lie that God is not real, I already learned how many manuscripts have survived of the New Testament. I already knew how many prophecies were perfect. But no one had ever met my logic with their story, like Catherine kind of did in this week's chapter we read about with her daughter. I would eventually like beat down that fear with faith, because I learned faith is an action just like love is an action. And I would get it pretty under control for like weeks, months, sometimes even years. And then something would happen, like the death of my father or something else traumatic, and it would just get seized up with, but what if it isn't real? What if I really don't see him again? What if this is not a thing? And all of my friends, like most of my friends, fell on the other side of that. So even they were like, I've never doubted God's existence. And I'm like, that's awesome for you. awesome. But a couple of years ago while I was in school, I had a professor who asked us this really weird question one time. He said, what is the secret to a successful ministry? And we're all like trying to get A's and we're like coming up with all of our ideas. And there's ideas from discipleship to balancing our personal life with running a ministry or whatever. And after we've all guessed, he told us that he believes the secret to a successful ministry is to remember. He said, remember where you came from. He said, remember where you were, who you were, what you were, when you realized that you were a sinner in a fallen world and that Jesus loved you so much that he went to a cross for you, because this is never what God had for us for eternity. He said, go to bed every night remembering how God was faithful that day, and remember the big moments over the years when God's glory, his thumbprint, was so unmistakable that it causes your faith, and I love this part, to dig in deep in the soil and be watered by the sheer gratefulness of it all. And I was just kind of dumbfounded, and it was like something so simple that felt so normal was supposed to make such a big impact on my faith and my life and any future ministry that any of us ever were in charge of. But the problem was, I really didn't feel like I had a foundation or like what I would call a spiritual legacy. I would see other people who had what I would call a spiritual legacy. Like they grew up with an understanding of God. They went to church on Sundays. It was God was in conversations they had. And I never had that. And I just remember feeling like I was behind in that, and I didn't have this like really important foundation. Like I couldn't do anything because I was lacking this foundation. But when I was in high school, I had the opportunity of being in charge of this like area group of teens from all different schools for several years. When I was in the ninth grade, I was junior president, and I was given the opportunity to be put in charge of a food drive that was going to be helping a local family in need. And the sponsors kind of just told me, like, this is kind of what we're going to do, and I want you to head this up. And it was neat because it was the very first opportunity I ever had to gather people and gather resources and put them together to help people in need, which is still what I do in my job today. But what was really neat was that God really grew in me a heart for that, and he really equipped me in that. And then a few years ago, I found out that I was the family in need. That food went to my house because my stepdad was really sick and bedridden, and my mom had just lost a job and transitioned to a new one. And I wasn't really aware of how bad things had gotten, but the food all went to my house, which is crazy. I have a spiritual legacy. We just didn't know it was God. We didn't call it that. And so recognizing that and then moving forward, I realized I could start building a spiritual legacy on this foundation that was already there that I didn't even know was there. So this is kind of what we're going to explore today, is being aware of how God has been working in your life, even when you didn't realize that was him working in your life. And kind of, it's going to be a huge faith builder, not just for you, but for your kids, any family, or anyone who hears about it. So since college, I've had lots of moments to add to the amazing story that God had already started in my life. And while working on this project, I actually loved like going through my phone and looking at pictures and seeing like people and events and vacations and even stuff, like things that I started seeing through the lens of the gospel, like seeing that that was God the whole time. Like, I really just thought that our house was the success of my super awesome Zillow.com skills, and it turns out it was probably God. It was God. Or, like, I thought that I had just, like, bucked down and gotten through school or homeschooled, and, like, it's really easy to give myself all the credit for that. My husband a little bit, but mostly me. And the truth is, God walked through that with me the entire time. And he blessed that hard work, and he saw it, but it was him all along. A couple of years ago, we had a bit of an event at my house that really added that second layer of foundation. So I have a picture of a cozy fire. I took this picture, and I'm just like, for the Instagram world to enjoy, because why would you not take a picture for Instagram? So this is me. 1 second, and then a few minutes later, the next one. This is a situation that's happening at my house. So the chimney caught on fire. So we're sitting there, it's cozy, it's lovely, I literally take the picture, and that fire gets really big. And it starts a sound that if you've ever heard, you're never gonna forget. It's like a roar. And I like instantly know, like, this is a chimney fire. I'm like yelling at my husband, like, we've got to get the kids out of bed. We got to get out of the house. We got to call 911. We got to get this out. We got to put the water out on it. Let's go. Just freaking out. And my husband is like poking the fire. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, he's just poking it. And it's a fire like way up there. It's not this. And I'm like trying to file through my mind of like, do I leave the damper closed? Do I open the damper? Do we keep the doors closed? You know, because the draft. I asked the firefighters later, you got to close the damper, guys. Close the damper, kill the fire. That's what he said. You're welcome. So there is a moment where we've called 911. They're on their way. And I'm standing like up high on our neighbor across the street's porch. And my kids are now in their house. And my kids are safe and they're warm. And our dog's in the backyard. And I'm like turning around, and Lance and I are safe. We're freaking out, but we're safe. And I can see like flames out of the top of my chimney. It's occurring to me how close those limbs are to the chimney we didn't realize before. And I remember thinking, if this gets to the chimney wall and it hits that attic and the insulation, it's gonna go all across the top of my house. We could lose everything. And I had the keys to my car even in my pocket. Like, do I just pull my car out so I can at least save my car? And even as I'm going through all this and I'm running back to help my husband, I remember this peace coming over me. And I remember thinking, we're safe. Thank you so much that we're safe. And we could lose everything, but if it brings you glory, take it. Take the house. It's fine. And I didn't remember at the time. It wasn't until later. And my husband and I actually, like, we worked really well. We got the fire out before the firefighters got there. We can't play board games, but we can put a fire out. And so we get the fire out, and I remember standing there afterward and recognizing, like, there's no damage to the house. There's damage inside the fire, the chimney, but that's it. And that's a huge gift. But the huge gift was that later I remembered that in the moment when I had no chance to think, I had no chance to analyze this, all of emotions, all of everything was stripped away, and I was just in the middle of a traumatic situation. I knew God was real. I knew he was present. And it just solidified that second layer. And from then on, like, God raised an Ebenezer in my heart, and I knew I needed to raise a physical one to remember this story forever. An Ebenezer is a Hebrew word. Like, it's one of my favorite hymns. But it literally means rock or stone of help. It's God would use tell people to do it. They would raise up these, like, stones as a memorial or a monument, kind of like we do statues today to remember something. And so they would use these physical markers to remember a spiritual marker in their life. And God's been doing that for a really long time. In fact, after bringing his people safely through the desert, after Moses had died and Joshua had taken over, right before they enter the promised land, but after they've crossed over Jordan River, God calls the people to do this. In Joshua 4:4-7, do we have that slide? Yeah. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord of your God into the middle of the Jordan River. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, so 12 of these river stones, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the waters of the Jordan were cut off. Oh, Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. When your children ask you, because God knows they will. Just like in this chapter, Catherine's daughter asked her, just like my daughters ask me, physical reminders of God's faithfulness are an anchor to our faith. And they help point us back to God and remember his faithfulness, helps our kids see that. So after reading the God Architect book back in the fall, I knew that I wanted to do something in my home that would kind of symbolize a physical marker of my chimney fire moment and the food drive moment, but all the other things too that I knew God had been faithful. So I ended up buying a Christmas tree to put in our sunroom. And on this one, I only wanted wood slices, like these. But on each of the wood slices, I would write something that had symbolized God's faithfulness to my family specifically. So I raised an Ebenezer, except instead of finding 12 strong men, I just found one at Walmart to get the box off the top shelf. And then I ordered some wood slices from Amazon. And I remember, I'm terrible at writing neatly. And so I was like practicing on sheets of paper before I wrote it on this stuff. And I remember just having this moment because I had just tried to write really pretty, these words of just different things. And it occurred to me as I'm sitting in my floor in my living room and I'm surrounded by these papers and it's just all these words of all these stories of God in my life. And I just like sobbed from the sheer gratefulness of it all, like my professor had said. I had one for our very first small group that we had when we came to fellowship. When we moved here, we had no friends and family in the city, and they're who we spent our holidays with. They're who we spent our birthdays, and we grieved with them, and they grieved and spent their holidays with us. They were the spiritual family that we didn't have in the city. I had one for our address, for the house that we love so much, and the neighborhood that we have planted in, and tried to, like, met our neighbors and really cultivated so many relationships, which is exactly where God had for us. I have one for Barbella. It's a really interesting backstory. I won't tell you now. It's a Barbie, Barbella. But But Barbella got my middle daughter through a really hard week at Children's Hospital when she was recovering from Stevens-Johnson syndrome, and we didn't know what was happening. We have one for Disney World because my husband was like studying like crazy for school, and we didn't know where we would end up living, and it was just a really hard time, and we just got a chance to just get away and not think about that and remember that we liked each other, we loved each other, and we enjoyed our kids. We have one for Dwell, like way up top, front and center, because when we went there the first time, especially, God showed up in our own lives so huge and catalyzed such an impact in our life that we're still on a path that God set us on because of Dwell. I have one for Papa Rob's salvation, because my dad was not an easy man to love, and he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer when my youngest daughter was born. And when faced with his own mortality, he had to kind of take a hard look at his life. And he gave his life to Jesus. And then he loved us really well for 18 full months before he died. Some of them probably are not like that big of a deal. Like, they're not as like huge as that. Like my dog Jazz has one, because I really wanted a dog really bad. And I really wanted a Westie. But they're expensive, and we were in college, and parents, and poor, and I just knew I really wanted one. But we found a free rescue Westie, and that was just, and I was like, my husband was like, really, you're going to put it up there? I was like, it was God. We don't have one for our punk Michael Scott puppy, but we have one that says Rainbow Baby for our third, who was born after our loss. We have several from the first year of our marriage, where something would happen that only God and us knew that we would need. Like, after we found out we were pregnant with our third, we were still kind of reeling from a loss and shocked that we were pregnant. My husband was still in school, and we were like, we're excited, but we're still paying for this loss, and we don't know how we're going to make ends meet. And I remember going to the mailbox, and in an envelope with no return address was hundreds of dollars of cash, and one Bible verse on a post-it note from Psalm 127 that said, children are a blessing of the Lord, they're a reward from him. Still no clue who did it. Some of them didn't feel desperate, but they were a huge gift. Like Bloom, when I first moved here and had no other friends. Or when I walked down from childcare and ran into Laura Kingry one day, and she said that somebody had gifted me 3 days worth of extended care, and I could just choose which day to use them. And I was homeschooling, and this was my only break. So it was like definitely a gift from the Lord. And I remember feeling really like loved from whoever did that, but mostly I felt seen and cared for by God. And there are some that say like 54 Strat. I think that's a guitar. Obviously, not all of them mean something to all of us, but they mean something to someone in my family. There's one that's got the name of my oldest daughter's stuffed bunny. There's one that says furniture. And they're just completely random. Like, they don't mean anything to anyone. And yet somebody will come into our house and be like, why do you have an ornament that says 54 Strat? And my husband's like, well, let me tell you what God has done. And what I learned from doing this in my own project, and what I pray that you guys are going to learn over the next couple weeks, is that God is real and he cares about you. And he's working in your daily lives. It's not just something from a long time ago. He's working today. And we know it. Like, that's something we all know, and we would say we know it. But it's real easy to forget it. It's real easy to forget it when your kids are crying, or it's been a long time since the last marker, or things are just crazy. And so, but even in that, what I love about him is that his grace is so amazing that even in that, he's already told us how to stop that from happening. He's the one who taught us to set a physical marker for a spiritual marker in our life. So I'm going to pray over you guys, but then Catherine's going to come up, and she's going to lead us through kind of the first steps of this project while we put some things down on paper that God has done in our own lives. I just want to thank you, God. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your goodness. Thank you for what we learned today in worship and reminded that we don't have to hold everything together, and that you are the one who's looking out for us and going before us and coming behind us. And your grace covers every scenario of our life.
And we ask, Lord, that you're going to bring to mind some things that we maybe have forgotten about, or maybe things that we haven't seen in light of your grace. I pray, Lord, that this binds our groups together, and it binds families together, and it binds your heart uniquely with each of the women here today as we remember that you're faithful and you're good and you care and you're working today. We ask this in your name. Amen.